Actually, when you turn to your Bibles, actually, we have two passages this morning. So actually, for now, will you turn to Jeremiah 35? And what I'll do is I'm going to read Joshua, and then you can turn and join with me to read that. Will you stand and rise as we read from the Word of God? Joshua 24, verse 14 and 15. Now fear the Lord and serve him with all faithfulness. Throw away the gods of your forefathers that your forefathers worshipped beyond the river and in Egypt, and serve the Lord. But if serving the Lord seems undesirable to you, then choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve, whether the gods of your forefathers served beyond the river or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you are living. But as for me and my household, we will serve the Lord. In Jeremiah 35. This is the word that came to Jeremiah from the Lord during the reign of Jehoiakim, son of Josiah, king of Judah. Go to the Rechabite family and invite them to come to one side rooms of the house of the Lord and give them wine to drink. So I went to get Jezaniah, son of Jeremiah, the son of Habazaniah, and his brothers and all his sons, the whole family of the Rechabites. I brought them into the house of the Lord, into the room of the sons of Hanan, son of Igdaliah, the man of God. It was next to the room of the officials, which is over that of Messiah, son of Shalom, the doorkeeper. Then I set bowls full of wine and some cups before the men of the Rechabite family and said to them, "Drink some wine." But they replied, "We do not drink wine because our forefather Jonadab, son of Rechab, gave us this command. Neither you nor your descendants must ever drink wine. Also, you must never build houses, sow seeds, or plant vineyards. You must never have any of these things, but must always live in tents. Then you will live a long time in the land where you are nomads. We have obeyed everything our forefather Jonadab, son of Rechab, commanded us. Neither we nor our wives nor our sons or daughters and daughters have ever drunk wine or built houses to live in or had vineyards, fields, or crops. We have lived in tents and have fully obeyed everything our forefather Jonadab commanded us. But when Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, invaded the land, we said, 'Come, we must go to Jerusalem to escape the Babylonian and Aramean armies.' So we have remained in Jerusalem." Then the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah, saying, "This is what the Lord Almighty, the God of Israel, says. Go and tell the men of Judah and the people of Jerusalem, 'Will you not learn a lesson and obey my words?' declares the Lord. Jonadab, son of Rechab, ordered his sons not to drink wine, and this command has been kept. To this day they do not drink wine, because they obey their forefathers' command. But I have spoken to you again and again, yet you have not obeyed me. Again and again I sent all my servants, to the prophets, to you. And they said, 'Each of you must turn from your wicked ways and reform your actions. Do not follow other gods to serve them. Then you will live in the land I've given to you and your fathers.' But you have not paid attention or listened to me. The descendants of Jonadab, son of Rechab, have carried out the command their forefathers gave them, but these people have not obeyed me. Therefore, this is what the Lord God Almighty, the God of Israel, says. Listen, I am going to bring on Judah and everyone living in Jerusalem every disaster I pronounced against them. I spoke to them, but they did not listen. I called to them, but they did not answer." Then Jeremiah said to the family of the Rechabites, "This is what the Lord Almighty, the God of Israel, says. You have obeyed the command of your forefather Jonadab and have followed all his instructions and have done everything he ordered. Therefore, this is what the Lord Almighty, the God of Israel, says. Jonadab, son of Rechab, will never fail to have a man to serve me." This is the reading of the word. Can you please be seated? Can I invite Elder Tran Chu to speak the word? As for me and my house.
Good morning. I'm glad to see you all. I would like to share with you a message based on the passage readings from the book of Joshua and the book of Jeremiah, as we just listened to Steve reading. After 38 years of sojourning in the desert, the Israelites were first led by Moses and then by Joshua. Finally, they were approaching the land of Canaan. And Joshua finally led the Israelites to conquer the land. After settling down, the Israelites, they built homes, farms, and started all kinds of businesses. They were living in peace and prosperity. They finally had a real taste about what it means about living in a land of milk and honey. When Joshua was still alive, he saw a danger that people may one day gradually walk away from the Lord. When they are no longer in battles, and when they are no longer in materialistic need every day. The calling and the purpose of their lives may be replaced by the busyness of pursuing the opportunities around them and the pleasure that satisfy their minds and their bodies. Joshua and his household at this point set an example for all the Israelites. He gathered them together and gave his testimony and called his fellow people to continue serving the Lord. The Bible told us that when Joshua and his generation were still alive, the people served the Lord. At this time, the Israelites were at a transition point, somewhat like today's fresh college graduates stepping into their career paths. There are no more homework, no more term papers, no more midterms and final exams. Now is the time of earning my real salaries instead of wages. Now it is the time of buying my own car, getting my own apartment, and fulfilling my own dreams. As for God's role in the lives of those Israelites, you can see there's a rapid downsizing. During the 490 years that the Israelites occupied the land of Canaan and lived there, their relationship with God, indeed, as Joshua worried about, deteriorated. And the deterioration went in four stages. In the first stage, when Joshua and the first generation settlers were still there, as I mentioned earlier, the people they loved and served the Lord. And after Joshua died, they entered into a second stage. They pretty much, using today's word, they laid off the Lord from their business. Whoever he is and whatever his plan is, they don't want to have much to do with him. They just went on trying to fulfill their Canaan dreams. Only when they are in trouble, they try to hire the Lord back as a consultant to rescue their company. When the crisis was over, they went on their ways again. And this is what happened as described in the book of Judges. In the third stage, the Israelites established their kingdom. They decided to keep their religion because it is good for them. The kingdom needs a religion. The nation needs it. The people need it to bind them together. So for the foremost part of their history, they maintained the religious rituals. But they were not really serious about the relationship with the Lord. They want the religion, but they don't want the relationship. They worship the Lord in their own ways and to their own convenience, whether at high places or at the Lord's temple, is their own choice. the way of worship. Like many of today's churchgoers, they made their own decision when and even whether to go to worship the Lord. The Passover, as commanded by the Lord in memory of his mighty work and his grace to the people, this festival was very rarely celebrated. Then, in the final stage, the people entered into their versions of today's postmodern or post-Christianity age. Everyone was going his or her own way. Most of them know that they were lost, but no one wanted to admit it. Few returned to the Lord. They were crazy in looking for a quick fix, but had no time or no room for listening to the Lord's voice. They regarded it as intrusive and offensive. They filled their ears with all kinds of banging noise, but rejected the Lord's whispering, or in Prophet Isaiah's words, the gently flowing waters of Shiloh. People went after all kinds of visible or invisible idols. They treated the true God with contempt. They treated each other by being lean and mean. The Lord was lamenting over the people who are rebellious children, who are like rebellious children against their parents. He was also like a disappointing landlord who was about to throw out the tenants that turned a beautiful house into a garbage dump. It was at this time the Lord called his prophet Jeremiah to speak to his people by using the Rechabites as an object lesson. Who are the Rechabites? What are these people? According to the recording of many authors of the Bible, Rechab, this person, may have been from one of the Kenite families that came into Palestine with the Israelites when the Israelites first migrated into the Promised Land. In 1 Chronicles chapter 2, verses 5, this it says, "And the clans of scribes who lived at Jabez, the Terethites, the Shemethites, and the Sukathites, these are the Kenites who came from Hamath, the father of the house of Rechab." Then the next question is, who are the Kenites? The Kenites, according to the book of Genesis, was a southern tribe. Does not belong to the Israelites. It was considered by later Jewish terms as Gentiles. A portion of this tribe lived among the Jews, including Jethro and or Hobab. You probably feel familiar with these two names because these are the names of Moses' father-in-law and brother-in-law. So Moses married a daughter from Kenite's tribe. And later in the book of Judges, there was a Kenite, his name is Heber, or Haber. His wife, Jael, had a heroic fact by killing the Canaanite general during a war between the Canaanites and Israel. In the days of the divided kingdom, Rechab determined that it was the Palestinian culture that was the cause of the defection and the immorality of God's people. So while he was living amongst the Israelites, he commanded his sons to return to the old nomadic way of life in all its simplicity. About 250 years before Jeremiah's time, there was a family member called Jonadab. He was a leader of the Rechabites in the days of King Jehu in the North Kingdom. Jonadab was known to be a person who assisted the king in his destruction of the Baal worship after the age of King Ahab and the Queen Jezebel. Now, in the days of Jeremiah, the prophet used the Rechabites as an object lesson. He brought them to the house of the Lord and offered them wine. The people refused because of their loyalty to their ancestor Rechab and his command. Jeremiah used their faithfulness as a rebuke to the unfaithfulness of Israel to the Lord. Let us now re-examine this story from three angles. The first, the forefathers, and the second, the descendants, and the last, from the Lord's perspective. About the forefathers, they gave this command: neither you nor your descendants must ever drink wine. Also, you must never build houses, sow seed, or plant vineyards. You must never have any of these things, but must always live in tents. Then you will live a long time in the land where you are nomads. This is a family that had a covenant with the Lord, even they were not Israelites. They were motivated to follow the Lord by fearing the one that has got the whole world and the eternity in his hand. They heard about and they saw his mighty deeds before. They were also motivated by loving the one who teaches to love. They were also motivated by trusting the one who keeps his promise. Whatever he said will be fulfilled, will be done. The specific actions in this covenant include two major things. The first is not to drink wine. Not to drink wine implies they are maintaining self-discipline or self-control and avoid being taken over by the kind of pleasure that the wine brings to them. Here, the Bible is not teaching by saying that pleasure, fun, or drinking are sin. That is not the main point here. The main point here is not to give any chance to temptations, whether it is food, it is dress, it is the language we use, it is the entertainment we enjoy. The point here is not to test the boundary or not continue to test the boundaries, but to press on the upper way and enjoy and explore a higher pleasure. What is the wine in our life today? Maybe most of you don't like drinking wine. After all, it does not taste that great to most of us. Some may do. I think there is something else in our life that are equivalent to the wine in this passage. What about the internet surfings? What about endless cell phone usage? Came in the right timing. Thank you for the illustration, whoever. For many teenagers today, when they changed from grade schools to intermediate schools. While they are getting new teachers, they also replace their parents. What does that mean? All of a sudden, the computer takes the place of the dad, and the refrigerator takes the place of the mom. When the kid gets home at 3:30 in the afternoon, you no longer hear the kid saying, "Hi, Dad, hi, Mom." But silently, the kid will right going to go to the where the computer is and push the on button on the computer. That's the first thing he does. The next thing he or she does is to walk to the kitchen and open the refrigerator door. You hear boom, boom. So the first two objects to be greeted, one is the computer, the other one is the refrigerator. Aren't these things equivalent to the wine in the passage we just read? There's no more dad, no more mom, no more highs. A child of a family becomes a guest of a motel. And he or she is glued to either cell phones or the internet. And anyone who tried to pull them away, whether to call them to do chores or even call them to have dinner, will annoy them, will irritate them, and then can easily start a fight in the family. Although I would just use the teenagers as an example, sometimes an adult is no exception in his or her relationship with the spouse or with the children. There are examples, very real examples of wine in our lives. The forefathers of the Rechabite family called the descendants to stay away from drinking wine. Not necessarily to wipe out the wine from the earth or from the land, from the country, but to stay away from it, not to be controlled by it. Lost self-control, lost our fundamental values, drifting in current in the current of pop culture, being locked in a box of constant audio and visual stimulations, we are becoming impatient, irritable, and sometimes violent in responding to people around us. Isn't it sad? The commands of the Rechabite's forefathers of not drinking wine are words of wisdom, not only for their descendants, but also for all of us, whether young or old, and old today. The second part of the covenant has to do with not settling in one place or accumulating too much. They were told not to build houses, but live in tents, not to plant grape trees, not to start their vineyards, but remain a nomadic lifestyle. That is a simple lifestyle. This is not an endorsement, I have to say, for those who are sloppy or stingy in their lifestyle. But this is an advice of being self-content. More importantly, this is an instruction of being always prepared to respond to the Lord's calling. Being God's children, we have a dual status. You and I, we are citizens of heavenly kingdom. We are also an agent sent by the heavenly kingdom to this world. As a citizen in heaven, our true home is in heaven. Our value is stored in eternity. As an agent or as a serviceman, we are supposed to be ready to receive orders of relocation and keeping being mobile all the time. How mobile are you? How ready am I? I remember when I first came to this country, I carried two suitcases, and I constantly was looking for cheap apartments. So once every quarter, I was studying in the school by quarter system. Every quarter, I was looking for a new apartment that can have just $5 more discount in my monthly rent. At that time, it was the easy thing to move from one apartment to the other because all I had were two suitcases. And then as time went on, I added more and more stuff to my so-called household. And a few years later, I got married and I had a home. And at the time, I had to move from the West Coast to the East Coast. Believe it or not, I had to rent a half container to ship all my household from Los Angeles to New Jersey. A friend of mine who had a similar experience once made this remark to me. He said, "Chuanqiu, I'm accumulating more and more things in my house. I'm not sure whether one day when the Lord called me to a missions field or even back to heaven, these things will be too heavy and prevented me from moving around." And by the same token, the church is the same way. Sometimes when we are becoming bigger and bigger, we build more and more. We have fancy buildings and sanctuaries. And in some churches, they have so many talents, so they organize an orchestra. They have all kinds of choirs and bands. And they purchase million-dollar worth of acoustic systems. To an extent, they could no longer conduct the worship in the absence of electricity or electronics. We rely so much on modern technology. Without them, we feel devastated. If a car breaks down on Sunday morning, and you cannot go to church, what would you do? Would you have a full justification to go right to bed to enjoy another 2 hours of sleep? Would you just then turn on your computer and surf on the internet and do some of your routine work or enjoy some of your personal entertainment? Or are you still able to recite some praise songs or hymns and spend a quiet hour or so with the Lord by reading His Word, enjoying His presence? Are we living a lifestyle that is simple enough so that we're not affected by the loss of any modern technologies? The purpose of the Rechabite covenant was to make sure this family can pursue the highest of blessing and to keep the most precious relationship, that is the relationship with the Lord. They constantly pursue one thing that is left there, never fail to be one of our descendants serving the Lord. Let's now look at the descendants of this family. In chapter 35, verses 8 to 10 of Jeremiah, thus it says, "We have obeyed everything our forefather Jonadab, son of Rechab, commanded us. Neither we, nor our wives, nor our sons and daughters have ever drunk wine or built houses to live in or had vineyards, fields, or crops. We have lived in tents and have fully obeyed everything our forefather Jonadab commanded us." The descendants of the Rechabite family, they trusted and valued their forefathers' commands. They did not take it as something out of date old-fashioned thing. They recognize the value of it. Not only they intellectually recognize and agree with it, with them, but also they obeyed. They carried it out with obedient attitude. The descendants put down their self-interest and their own agenda, decided not to follow the pop culture, but to follow the Lord. To do so, it takes an effort in the family. It takes an effort between a husband and a wife. They need to work hard to be loyal to each other all the time. They need to take care of each other and to constantly encourage each other, watch out for each other, to be godly every day in everything and in treating everybody. The couple need to nurture the relationship and to keep it growing. To keep the commands in the family, it also takes the effort of the parents and the children. They need to spend time together. They need to be companions in their life journey instead of four people going four different ways. Even in the name of serving the Lord, a family needs to get together. It is very sad in these days at the dinner table because everybody has his own or her own schedule, and everybody has a different time of getting hungry. So the children came home, they ate first. They grab whatever is in the fridge on the table, or they cook their own meals. They finish by 5 or 5:30, and they went on their ways. And when the parents came home, mom cooked, and dad was busy making business phone calls or watching the news or catching up some sports games in the VCR, in the recording. When the wife said, "Dinner's ready, come and get it," the dad said, "Oh, just wait, won't you eat first?" In many families, this is a typical thing. Four people, five people eating at five different times. Even that precious, the most precious, the only time the family can get together, now it's wasted. In order to keep a family covenant before the Lord, it takes the effort of everybody. Everybody has to care for one another. Everybody has to care for this home. It takes the effort of the parents and the children to put God first, others next, and me the last. Let alone the TV set, the computer, and the refrigerator. The parents and children can work together to cultivate a spirit of obedience and peace. Peace with God and peace with each other. Never let the words like "thank you," "I'm sorry," "excuse me," disappear from our daily life. Finally, let's study this passage by reading from the Lord's perspective. In verses 18 to 19, it says, "This is what the Lord Almighty, the God of Israel, says: You have obeyed the command of your forefather Jonadab and have followed all his instructions and have done everything he ordered. Therefore, this is what the Lord Almighty, the God of Israel, says: Jonadab, son of Rechab, will never fail to have a man to serve me." I don't know how you feel about this. I personally see this as the highest honor. The highest one in heaven and earth. the one who created and ruled the universe, the one who lived from forever till forever. He granted a permanent job in the highest office to each descendant of the household or out of the family of Rechab. This is a job. This is an offer. Not any president in the United States, not any prime minister in the United Kingdom, or any emperor in history on this earth is able to offer. They come and go, but our God is in his throne from forever till forever. And he is the highest. He personally will send a decree, an invitation to those who followed him wholeheartedly. I will grant you a job in the highest office. And this job is for you, your children, and all your descendants. Nobody can take it away. Would you respond to the call of the Lord? Would you live a life like Rechabites? Stay away from temptations, but constantly pursue the higher pleasure. These are the questions I would like to put before you. These are the challenges for you all, as well as for myself. What is at the center of your life now? Who are you? Who are you and your household currently serving? Who is your master? Who controls your life? Who takes the highest priority from early in the morning till late in the evening? Whose calling on you can supersede anything that's happening in your life? Once that calling comes up, you are willing to drop anything else. Is it a football game? Is it computer games? Is it your business? Or is it the calling of the Lord? Are you living a life of self-discipline? Are you setting your mind to please the Lord? Are you living a life of mobility and make yourself ready all the time to drop anything you have or anything you are doing in order to respond to your master's call? Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we give thanks to you. Even we're living in a world that is filled with all kinds of noises to distract us from you, and yet you're still speaking to us in whisper how much you love us. Father, we thank you this morning for reminding us that we can be a different people. We were designated by you to be a different people because you already established this covenant with us through the blood of your Son, that we're going to have an eternal relationship with you. Father, how can we reject? How can we walk away from such an offer of serving in the highest office till eternity? Thank you, Father. We give praises to you, and also we give our hearts to you. May this morning you speak to each one of us, revive us, renew us, so that, Father, our relationship with you will be as tight as you want it to be. Anytime you call us, we are pure and we are ready. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.